All right, good morning, everybody. I'll call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, December 11, 2018. Clearly, we've got a packed agenda. We're going to be here as long as you guys want to be here, okay? But we do have business that we've got to work on and work through. We're going to start this meeting just like we start every one of our meetings by honoring America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you, Corey. Still appreciate everybody's interest in we've got really two big topics today. One that's driving most of the attendance, but two pretty major topics. We're going to get through the business portion of our agenda first today. We should be able to handle that fairly quickly. Then we'll move on to the Dotson proposed rezoning, try to deal with that as quickly as we can, and then we'll move on to the public hearing for the three proposed animal feeding lots. So that's going to be our process today. Our first item on the agenda, as always, is public comment number one. So this is an opportunity for members of the public in every meeting to comment on really anything they want to comment on. What I'm going to ask of you is, if you have comments on either of the topics that we're having a public hearing on, please hold your comments till we get to the public hearing. If anybody would like to address any other topic other than those items, please come on up to the microphone right now and address us. And seeing no one move to the microphone, we'll go on to consideration of minutes from December 4th.
I move, Lieutenant.
Second. Motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions as listed.
Motion to move as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Chee.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims for December 13th.
I move as presented.
Aye.
Okay, so we've got a motion and a second on the claims for December 13th. Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda. Board, please pull item number 6, which is consideration of a request from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources to award a construction contract for Hickory Grove. That's something that I felt like we needed to talk about. I've asked them to come back next week since our agenda is full. So I'd like to pull number 6 and deal with that next week.
Okay.
Okay. You know how to move
and
move
that with no agenda minus item 6 for next week's agenda.
I second.
Motion and a second. Chee.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes with the removal of item number 6. That brings us to public hearing items. First on our public hearing items is first consideration of ordinance 280, which amends certain boundaries of the official zoning map of Story County, and Resolution 1947, which is our C2C, which is our Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map Amendment. We're going to start with planning and development, Jerry and Emily, to give us a full report on this. Then we're going to hear from the applicant. Then we'll open the public hearing. Jerry.
Thank you, Rick. We just want to start by thanking the applicant for their descriptive written application, sharing their vision for the property and the goal to protect the natural resources on the property, and also including the concept development plan that they submitted with the rezoning application. The applicant had meaningful discussions with our staff and the Story County Conservation Board about how the conservation staff might be involved in the management and ownership of these natural areas or environmentally sensitive areas. And their submittal and the discussions that we had with the applicant and discussions that we had with the Story County conservation staff helped shape the recommendation with the conditions that we bring forward to the board today. Planning and Zoning Commission did address the rezoning request at the December 5 meeting. They had a lot of good questions, discussion. They listened to the comments from the general public. And however, they were unable to reach a consensus. And so there is no recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission on this item. So our goal today is to go through the main points that are identified in the Story County Land Development Regulations, Zoning Ordinance, and the Cornerstone to Capstone Comprehensive Plan for rezoning requests to assist the board in making their decision today.
Okay. This is a rezoning and C2C future land use map amendment. The applicant is Kurt Friedrich. The property owner is Robert Dotson, the Dotson Family Trust. The subject property is located in Section 7 of Franklin Township, on the south side of 170th Street and the east side of 500th Avenue. The city of Gilbert is within 2 miles of the proposed rezoning. The districts we have for this property are the Gilbert Fire Association, Mary Greeley Ambulance, Story County Sheriff, the Gilbert Community School District, Midland Power Cooperative, and Xenia Rural Water. So the nature of the request is for a rezoning from the A1 Agricultural District to the R1 Transitional Residential District. The C2C Future Land Use Map Amendment proposal is from the Agricultural Conservation Area and the Natural Resource Area to the Rural Residential Area designation. The subject property is approximately 160 gross acres, 4 quarter-quarters. The request has been submitted to accommodate a proposed major residential subdivision to be located primarily in the northwest, northeast, and southeast quarter-quarters. The applicant has provided a concept drawing that includes 81 development lots for one single-family dwelling per lot. So looking at the vicinity map, we're in the northwestern corner of Franklin Township. The subject property is 1.5 miles west of the city of Gilbert. Looking at surrounding land use, the land use is primarily agricultural and large lot residential. The Buck Hill subdivision is 1/3 mile to the north on the west side of 500th Avenue in Boone County. Eagle Ridge subdivision is 1/4 mile to the south in Story County on the east side of 500th Avenue. Looking at the Squaw Creek floodplain that runs through this property, it runs through on the western sides and then also on the southwest quarter-quarter and to the south of the subject property. Eagle Ridge subdivision is located directly to the south of this floodplain. Because development is strongly discouraged within the floodplain, we might consider Eagle Ridge to be surrounding to the subject property. There are 5 single-family dwellings within 1/4 mile, and these are located on lots between 6.88 net acres and 53.4 net acres in size. So the current use of the property, 66 acres is a long-term pasture, and that starts in the northwest corner here and extends down eastward and southern. The farmed area, there's currently 25 acres in hay production in the northeast corner and 19 acres that were in corn production in 2018. There is an area that has been ceded to long-term prairie, 2 areas, one in the northwest corner of the subject property and then a majority of the southwest quarter-quarter. The remainder of the stream is a stream channel and natural area. This information was provided to us by Fox Engineering. So this is a general concept plan submitted by Fox Engineering and the applicant. Again, there are 81 lots in the northwest quarter-quarter, the northeast quarter-quarter, and the southeast quarter-quarter. There's no residential development plan for the floodplain area or the natural areas in the southwest quarter. Looking at the zoning map, this property is zoned A1 and is completely surrounded by A1 zoning. Eagle Ridge subdivision to the south is zoned AR. And then further, just slightly further south, is the Wood subdivision, which is zoned R1. Again, the subject property is located here with a floodplain to the south and the Eagle Ridge subdivision directly to the south of that. So the existing zoning on the property is the A1 Agricultural District. This is for land uses compatible with agriculture and to protect agricultural land from encroachment of urban land uses. A goal is to preserve rural character by limiting development of most new non-farm dwellings to large lots. The proposed district, the R1 Transitional Residential District, is for single-family detached dwellings between a rural and an urban density. And part of that is providing special provisions to protect the residential character of the district. Just looking at a few of the highlights from the C2C plan designations, the existing designation is an agricultural conservation area. So that's conserving agricultural land, encouraging high-value agriculture lands to remain as agriculture, limiting conflicts, and promoting the continued health of agriculture. The rural residential designation involves principles such as new development sensitive to the predominantly rural area of the county, encouraging clustering of residential sites, providing buffers to minimize conflicts, and mitigating and managing stormwater runoff, erosion control, and wastewater discharge. So this is our C2C future land use map designations. As I said previously, the subject property is designated as A1 agriculture. That's where you can see the aerial image. We also have a natural resource layer that is quite general on this site. It does indicate to us, while not very specific, it does indicate to us that there are natural resources on the site. Principles for the natural resource area include mitigating impacts of proposed development, discouraging development within these areas, considering areas identified as natural resource area for inclusion in the Greenbelt Conservation Zoning District. Let's see. So due to the generality of the natural resource area map and also discussions that took place at the conceptual review meeting, it was requested by Story County Conservation that a field survey be done on the site. Dr. Thomas Rosberg from Drake University did this survey on October 15th of this year. It was primarily a late season plant survey, so really it was just looking at what was on the site on that date. In the report, Dr. Rosberg concludes the following. There is a significant native prairie component on the site. The south and west facing slopes are the most important locations supporting the prairie remnant populations. And finally, the full extent of the quality of the prairie remnants cannot be fully determined at this point due to the lateness in the growing season. So here are the locations of the identified species. They're located primarily on the steep slopes, again, on the western sides and the southern slopes of the property. This is just some more detail about the identified species. Looking at the oblique imagery, again, the natural resources identified are primarily on the southern slopes and then the western slopes. In general, the subject property is highest in the northeast corner and then falls to the southwest here. This is, again, where the floodplain is located. So I'm going to move on to site photos. The site photos start on the southwest corner of the site, travel up 500th Avenue, and then east along 170th Street. This is looking northeast from 500th Avenue. These are the slopes with the natural resource areas located on them. Down here is the floodplain. This is looking southeast from 500th Avenue toward the southwest quarter. This photo is looking east from 500th Avenue along 170th Street here. Looking south from 170th Street along 500th Avenue. This is looking southwest along 170th Avenue here. This is the property to the west of the subject property. This photo is looking north from 170th Street along 500th Avenue. And then looking northeast from 500th Avenue along 170th Street here. This photo is looking southeast from 170th Street at the subject property. Looking southeast again from 170th Street. This is looking directly south at the subject property. And again, looking south. This is about in the middle of the subject property, looking south. Again, this is the row crop area, looking south from 170th Street. And this is the very eastern edge of the property here. This is looking southwest from 170th Street. This is looking southeast from 170th Street at the adjacent farmstead to the east. This is looking northeast at the farmstead to the north. This is looking across 170th Street at the property to the north. And then looking back west from 170th Street toward 500th Avenue. So getting into the standards for approval of the rezoning, the proposed rezoning shall conform to the Cornerstone to Capstone Comprehensive Plan. The C2C plan zoning compatibility matrix shows that the R1 district is compatible with the rural residential designation, and we'll discuss this more momentarily. B is that the proposed rezoning shall conform to the statement of intent for the proposed district and district requirements. So the R1 district is intended for single-family dwellings with minimum lot sizes of 25,000 square feet. The applicant has requested the R1 district rather than the AR, Agricultural Residential District, in order to provide a greater variety of lot sizes, but also to provide smaller lot sizes to better preserve the environmentally sensitive areas on the site. The proposed use of the southwest quarter and the environmentally sensitive areas for open space, recreation area, and stormwater management is more consistent with the Greenbelt Conservation District than the R1 Residential Transitional District because there's no residential development plan for this area. The applicant has expressed interest in working with Story County Conservation to create a management or ownership agreement for the environmentally sensitive areas, rather than leaving this to future residents or future homeowners association in order to provide what they feel will be the best protection to the environmentally sensitive areas on the site. It should be noted, though, that if left in agricultural land use under private ownership, it would be difficult to enforce any preservation of the environmentally sensitive areas on the site. Planning and development staff recommend requiring the applicant to request a rezoning of the southwest quarter and the environmentally sensitive areas to the Greenbelt Conservation District as part of the subdivision plat submittal, as well as requiring a management and or ownership agreement with Story County Conservation in order to best maintain and preserve the environmentally sensitive areas. C is the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. Eagle Ridge is a major residential subdivision located 1/4 mile to the south of the subject property. The subdivision is zoned AR, Agricultural Residential. It is 1/4 quarter in size and contains 14 lots. These lots range from 1.1 net acres to 1.71 net acres. Eagle Ridge is, again, located directly on the south side of the floodplain of Squaw Creek. Development is strongly discouraged within the floodplain, and therefore we may consider Eagle Ridge as surrounding to the subject property. Planning and development staff recommend a condition limiting the overall density of the proposed rezoning area to no more than 14 lots per quarter.
Sorry, I'm going to ask that you speak into her as much as you can, please, for those guys out there.
Sure. So planning and development staff do recommend a condition limiting the overall density of the proposed rezoning area to no more than 14 lots per quarter, or a total of 56 lots, in order to align with the surrounding character of the area. We would like to point out that in the future, as the area develops and the surrounding land uses change, it would be possible for the applicant to come back and request an amendment to the zoning to further to increase the density at that time. So Standard D references the natural resources on the subject property and requires conditions for the conservation of natural resources on a site. Based on the survey completed by Dr. Rosberg in October, there are remnant prairie species on the site. However, further inventory must be completed to identify additional natural resources on the site. Planning and development staff recommend this identification as a condition of approval. And once identified, these areas should be designated as agricultural conservation area and natural resource area on the C2C future land use map. The subject property is not an appropriate site for a traditional large lot subdivision. And in order to ensure that the future subdivision plat submittal maintains the existing conservation design principles as submitted by the applicant, planning and development staff recommend a condition requiring that any proposed subdivision on this site meet the RC Residential Conservation Design Overlay District design and improvement requirements, which will limit the environmentally, which will limit development on the environmentally sensitive areas of the site. This will ensure conservation principles are maintained without adding additional requirements for landscaping, sidewalks, or other infrastructure improvement requirements that are required in the RC Residential Conservation Overlay District. Let's see here. And finally, for the standards of approval for the rezoning request, Standard E, which is in areas where the petition to rezone the request to rezone requests a change from the A1 agricultural district to the or the A2 agribusiness district to another district, land scoring 267 or above for the total LISA score as determined by the land evaluation site assessment as adopted for Story County shall not be approved. So we can see here that three of the four quarter-quarters meet the LISA threshold for a rezoning request to be submitted. The southwest quarter-quarter does not meet the threshold for the rezoning for a rezoning request to be approved. The difference in these LISA scores is really a result of the varying average site value, which is an average of the corn suitability rating of the soil on the site. Because the LISA scores consider surrounding zoning and surrounding land use, in the overall score, if the northwest, northeast, and southeast quarter-quarters were rezoned to the R1 transitional residential district, the LISA score of the southwest quarter-quarter would fall below 267 and thus be eligible for a rezoning request. Again, as we discussed before, it is recommended as a condition that the southwest quarter-quarter and the environmentally sensitive areas identified on the site are rezoned to the Greenbelt Conservation District. New dwellings are not permitted in the Greenbelt Conservation District, so this rezoning request would prevent development in these areas. Moving on to the future land use map amendment standards. The first item is that the extent to which the change would be consistent with the comprehensive plan goals and policies. So there are several goals in the C2C plan that are consistent with the proposed amendment. I'm going to this morning focus on just a few of the land use goals. Land use goal two is to preserve, protect, and plan around the physical characteristics of the land. Planning and development staff are proposing conditions to identify the environmentally sensitive areas and designate them as natural resources. Land use goal three, consider the availability and capacity of local services and infrastructure when determining future land uses. I just want to pull out a few of these items. There's currently no gas service to this property. However, based on discussions with the applicant about the proposed development, Alliant Energy anticipates extending a line west from the city of Gilbert to the subject property. It was communicated by Xenia Rural Water that the existing system does have capacity to serve a residential subdivision at this location. It does not, however, have the capacity for fire flow or for residential irrigation systems unless a line is extended from the southeast. Special consideration will need to be taken when designing the drainage of the site. The subject property is located within three drainage district boundaries, which need to maintain the drainage within those boundaries. Standard 2 looks at whether new information has become available since the comprehensive plan was adopted that supports reexamining the plan. The proposed development offers a new opportunity for the identification and conservation of the environmentally sensitive areas on the site. The C2C plan includes a proposed trails and greenway map, which includes a proposed hard surface trail along 500th Avenue and 170th Street adjacent to the subject property. The platting of the subject property is a good time to allocate space for a future potential hard surface trail. Planning and Development and Story County Conservation staff recommend the condition of a 20-foot wide easement along the west and north sides of the property to allow for the potential future development of a hard surface trail. Standard 3, whether or not the change is needed to allow reasonable development of the site. A rural residential designation is necessary for a residential development on the site. The proposed conditions of the amendment will more clearly locate and identify the natural resource areas on the site and provide an opportunity for the preservation and maintenance of these areas. Standard 4 is the relationship of the proposed amendment to the supply and demand for the particular land uses within the county and immediate vicinity. There is a demand for rural residential dwellings in Story County. With a growing population, additional housing will be needed, and the proposed development will provide another type of housing option, smaller lots, and then open recreation area. The proposed conditions will assist in preserving the environmentally sensitive areas on the site. And in order to ensure gradual land use transitions to reduce potential incompatibilities with the agricultural use, staff recommends a minimum of a 50-foot buffer along the east side of the proposed development. 5 is a demonstration that the proposed amendment has merit beyond the interests of the applicant. The proposed amendment obviously serves the interests of the applicant by allowing residential lots to be platted and sold for single-family dwelling development. Additionally, current and future residents of Story County will benefit from the preserved and maintained environmentally sensitive areas on the site, as well as the preserved open space. The preservation will also provide an open space buffer from the surrounding land uses, provide space for improved stormwater management and erosion control, and foster habitat for the growth of the existing remnant prairie species. Lastly, the proposed development may act as a resource for future developments that are going to use conservation design principles. 6 looks at the possible impacts of the amendment on all specific elements of the comprehensive plan. Again, with the conservation of the natural resources and the recreation area, the proposed development provides an increased opportunity for recreation in Story County. An inventory of the site will provide a more accurate representation of the natural resources on the site. In terms of transportation, the applicant will be required to submit a traffic impact analysis as part of the major subdivision application. Further, again, staff is recommending that 20-foot easement along the west and north edges of the proposed subdivision when that application is submitted for the potential future development of a hard surface trail. And lastly, standard 7 is consideration of the fiscal impacts of the proposed amendment to Story County. Any potential fiscal impacts will be determined at the time of the submittal of the major subdivision plat. We did hold a conceptual review meeting on October 11th of this year. I'm just going to highlight a few of those comments. Conservation did note the 22 species of native prairies. 22 native prairie species located on the site, but that they will continue to gather information, and they look forward to working with the applicant to explore the potential of environmentally sensitive development on the site. The Story County Engineer noted a 500-foot site distance requirement we have in our code, noted to keep drainage within the drainage district boundaries and avoid disturbing the tile. It was anticipated that this will add approximately 700 vehicle trips per day to 170th Street, but the traffic impacts on access locations will be addressed when the subdivision plat is submitted. The new traffic impact analysis and study ordinance will be in effect. Story County Environmental Health had discussions with the applicant about a potential centralized system and what the benefits and negatives were for the developer and the homeowners. We sent notice letters to property owners within a quarter mile of the proposed rezoning and to the city of Gilbert on November 27th in regards to the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting and this meeting today. A notice was also published in the three papers designated by the Board of Supervisors on November 27th. So we received some public comments prior to the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. We received a few phone calls and an email just asking for additional information on the rezoning request. A Planning and Zoning Commission member was contacted by the mayor of Gilbert to discuss the proposed project. That same commission member forwarded comments and questions from an adjacent property owner. These included questions about the drainage district boundaries, the drainage tile preservation, and the natural flow of water on the site. This individual had questions about whether or not the Greenbelt Conservation District was applicable to the site, or if the RC Residential Conservation Design Overlay District was applicable. This individual did state that they believe that further studies of the environmentally sensitive areas should be completed, and then just asked a general question of, is placing 80 houses on such a small area consistent with the rural residential area principles, specifically principle one, which is to ensure that new development is sensitive to the predominantly rural nature of the areas. So the comments from the public at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting included that I was ranked the lowest out of 50 states for the amount of natural landscaping remaining, just providing a more reason to preserve what we have. The conflict between identifying environmentally sensitive areas and the proposed concept plan were noted. This individual felt that there were some conflicts between where the environmentally sensitive areas are located and the proposed concept plan. This individual also thought that the potential Story County conservation management of the environmentally sensitive areas would be a positive thing. The residential subdivision developments have had significant impacts on natural landscapes in other areas. There's concern about how the LISA scores are evaluated and if Story County is really trying to preserve agricultural land through these scores. There's a question about, will the natural flow of water on the site be maintained? How does the applicant propose to buffer the impacts of the residential development from the existing livestock and crops in the area? We talked about buffering the proposed residential development from the livestock and crops on this individual turn the question around. LISA scores do. Another individual indicated that the LISA scores do not represent the productivity of the ground. There are concerns about emergency response accessing the proposed lots, particularly in the southeast quarter during large rain events due to the topography of the site. There are concerns about impact on existing cattle operations, specifically the one to the east. It was noted that 170th Street is a farm-to-market road, so there's a lot of agricultural equipment traffic. This individual also indicated that there is land closer to Ames that has not yet been developed, as well as lots available in the Buck Hill Estate subdivision to the north. Gilbert recently annexed land for residential development. There will be additional costs to the Gilbert Fire Department to serve the area, and the water will have to be supplied by the city of Gilbert because Xenia indicated that they don't have capacity for fire flow. There are also concerns regarding the increase in traffic through the city of Gilbert, and it was noted that this would be an increase in the tax base for the Gilbert Community School District. Here's some comments from the Planning and Zoning Commission. It was noted that the remnant prairie species on the area, there were remnant prairie species on the area recommended for the rezoning. There's a question about what is the impact of the easements and buffers proposed as conditions on the developable area of the property. How will the three drainage districts impact the development? Residential development can have negative impacts on the adjacent and nearby livestock. It may be necessary to construct a fence around the entire property to minimize these impacts. Is Eagle Ridge really surrounding the subject property? It's a quarter mile from the very southwest corner of the property. Why is the southwest quarter quarter included in the rezoning request? Since the three quarter quarters are planned for development, why did staff consider all four quarter quarters and the maximum overall density? This is 42 versus 56 lots. And why does the existing ordinance limit the rezoning from an A1 or A2 district with a LISA score greater than 267? We do have zoning districts that's more restrictive than these, so that question was asked. And then why was the RC overlay district not used for the proposed subdivision? Should the RC overlay district be amended? And then it was also asked if there's a maximum lot size in the R1 district. Other public comments. On Monday, December 10th, we did receive an email from an adjacent property owner with several questions related to the LISA evaluation and also the meaning of rural versus urban residential density. Staff did respond to these questions via email. So our points to consider. There are native prairie remnants and other natural resources on the site. The C2C plan discourages development in these areas and proposes the Greenbelt Conservation District as an appropriate zoning district for conserving the natural areas. A management and or ownership agreement with Story County Conservation would be more effective in preserving the native prairie remnants and other environmentally sensitive areas on the site than placing sole responsibility on future residents or homeowners association. The development, the proposed development is adjacent to two paved county roads. Since development is discouraged within the floodplain, it can be determined that the subject property is surrounding to the existing development at Eagle Ridge. Allowing an overall density of 14 dwellings per quarter quarter is consistent with the development at Eagle Ridge and the surrounding land use in the area. The R1 district will allow for smaller lot sizes, offering greater protection to the environmentally sensitive areas and open space on the property. A traffic impact analysis will be required with the subdivision plat application. Road or traffic improvements will be considered at that time. The C2C comprehensive plan includes a proposed trails and greenway map, which includes a hard surface trail along 500 Avenue and 170th Street, the western and northern boundaries of the subject property. So planning and development staff made the following recommendation to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Planning and development staff support the proposed rezoning from the A1 Agricultural District to the R1 Transitional Residential District and the C2C Future Land Use Map designation from the Agricultural Conservation Area and Natural Resource Area to the Rural Residential Area for the Northwest Quarter, the Southwest Quarter, the Northwest Quarter, the Northeast Quarter, and the Southwest Quarter of the subject property. With the following conditions. The overall density of the future subdivision shall be consistent with the density of the Eagle Ridge subdivision located to the south, and that means not to exceed 14 development lots per quarter in order to match the existing character of the area. Condition 2 is that the applicant shall collaborate with Story County Conservation to identify and map the locations of the environmentally sensitive areas, including the southwest of the northwest quarter on the subject property, including but not limited to those areas identified in Condition 7 below. Condition 3, the applicant shall request a future land use map designation amendment for the environmentally sensitive areas identified in Condition 2, from the requested rural residential designation to the agricultural conservation designation at the time of the proposed subdivision plat and rezoning submittal. The environmentally sensitive areas identified in Condition 2 shall further be designated as natural resource area on the C2C future land use map. Condition 4 is in order to ensure the long-term protection of the environmentally sensitive areas and the floodplain areas, an application to rezone the southwest quarter and all environmentally sensitive areas identified through the inventory and Condition 2 shall be submitted for the A1 Agricultural District and the R1 Transitional Residential District to the Greenbelt Conservation District. A management and or ownership agreement with Story County Conservation shall be made and submitted at the time of the rezoning in order to best preserve the preserve and maintain the identified environmentally sensitive areas on the site. Condition 5 is in accordance with Principle 4 of the Rural Residential Area C2C Future Land Use Map designation. A buffer of no less than 50 feet shall be maintained between the proposed subdivision development lots and the agricultural land use located to the east. Condition 6, a 20-foot wide easement for a future hard surface trail shall be provided on the north and west sides of the proposed subdivision for future trail development as described in the C2C plan. And finally, Condition 7, as a part of the subdivision plat submittal, the development improvements shall meet the requirements of the residential conservation design overlay district design and improvement requirements. Limiting development on areas such as wetlands, native prairie remnants, places with significant tree cover, and areas having slopes greater than 14%, areas that provide habitat for rare, threatened, or endangered species, burial sites and Native American mounds, and then drainage ways containing running water during spring runoff or during storm events. So at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on December 5th, following discussion, there was a motion that was made to recommend approval of planning staff's recommended conditions, removing Condition 1, which is the maximum density condition, to the Story County Board of Supervisors. This motion failed for a lack of a second. Another motion was made to recommend approval of the staff recommendation, which included all of the conditions, to the Board of Supervisors as provided above, which we'll get to in a second, alternative number 5. The vote on this motion was 2-3. We do need a majority vote of those present, which would be 3-5, to recommend approval or denial of the motion. There were no additional motions made by the Planning and Zoning Commission. So here are your alternatives today. You may recommend approval as submitted by the applicant, approval as submitted by the applicant with the conditions, denial of the proposal by the applicant. You could choose to remand the request back to staff and the applicant for further discussions and bring it back to you on a different date. Or the fifth alternative would be number five, which is what planning and development staff recommend, which is approval of the rezoning of the northwest quarter, the northeast quarter, and the southeast quarter, as well as the future land use map amendment for those areas with the conditions listed above, which are 1-7. Take any questions.
Yeah, very thorough. Thank you. Yeah, so questions from the board. I've got just a couple. So all we're talking about today is the rezoning of this property. That does not imply approval of a plat or anything like that. Is that right?
That's correct.
Second one is, and Jared, maybe you help me with this one. I have never heard of us establishing density based on a quarter before. Have we ever done that before?
Well, and again, that comes from one of the key criteria in the zoning ordinance, which talks about if you're going to request a change in zoning, you need to establish the what the existing land use is and the development pattern. So that's why we drew from the Eagle Ridge development, which is the closest development, to figure
out
what that
development is. Sure, but I also heard that Eagle Ridge development ranges in lot sizes of 1.1 acres to 1.7 acres. So in my mind, I'm just kind of calling it one developable lot kind of per acre of the development. And I'm wondering if there wasn't another way to get there, because we've got this range, right, from 81 from the proposal from the developer to 56 based on 14 lots per quarter. And I'm just trying to understand how all that works when I also heard you say that smaller lot sizes in it with rural character would have some appeal and is something that we need in our inventory. So it's not congruent for me if I'm hearing smaller lot sizes but also fewer lots. Those two don't line up very much, right?
Well, in the smaller lots, the R1 zoning district request, which is the 25,000 square foot minimum,
a half acre, right?
Is nice in this particular case because it helps preserve those environmentally sensitive areas, and the applicant has no intention of developing those areas, so that's why it makes that request something worth supporting.
Super. Thank you. Other questions, board?
Talking about fire service concerns, we're trying to move a development here today. One of the things we're having trouble with, especially about our water, is being a both contributor on a raw water basis and not meeting fire service codes. What's the story here? Because you were clearly out of town.
Yeah, so the Gilbert Fire Department does have tanker trucks to serve the rural areas where they cannot connect to fire water. Fire hydrants. Thank you. So this is something they're already doing. They wouldn't have any hydrants to connect to anyway in this area. So the fact that there's not enough pressure for fire service may or may not be a concern to you.
On the visa scoring, as on the movement to an R1 designation, I get that if you do the 3 quarter-quarters, and that pulls down the conservation greenbelt designation, don't we have the ability to lock this in as being something that we have control on in the sense that the conservation is there because of an agreement as is proposed?
Explain why the Southwest is not in.
Are you asking that does it have to be formally rezoned at some point, that greenbelt part?
Or just express that the concept of planning zoning in the sense that because of the R moving the A1 to the R1, that would pull down the least score of the floodplain area and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And does that not get moved to the side by having the greenbelt designation, the conservation greenbelt designation?
So in the code, it says that when there's a LISA score higher than 267 for property, a rezoning from the A1 or A2 district to any other district shall not be approved. So we don't have the we can't rezone a property with a high LISA score at all to any other district. But if we do it after, as we talk about, if the surrounding land uses change, that will impact the LISA score, and that will bring it below 267.
And then we bring it in.
And then we can, someone can submit an application for rezoning at that time.
To Greenbelt Conservation.
Yeah.
Which helps protect those areas and allows them to do projects with regard to stormwater management and erosion control.
Are we leapfrogging here a little bit based upon how the vision of our own planning and our zoning residential districts are going into the ag? In going from, we point out like Eagle Ridge is only 14 lots for the quarter, and then all of a sudden we would be going to a much higher density. And in that leapfrog, would not a consequence be that somebody else would sell 160 acres of farmland right next door, say maybe, and another developer comes in and wants to go to that density, and then staff comes to us back and says, oh, look, the right next door, we've got a higher density. So isn't that kind of what we probably is when you start jumping over the natural progression of higher and higher or lower and lower densities before you get out, so that all of a sudden you've got a band of much higher density?
Yeah, the way that we were able to come to the conclusion that the subject property was surrounding the development in Eagle Ridge was, as Emily mentioned, much of this area south, and including the southwest quarter of this property, is in the floodplain. And so that acts as somewhat of a corridor by which development is not supported or encouraged. There is another quarter to the south with a single family dwelling on that 40 acres, but much of that parcel is in the floodplain. So just south of that corridor, the floodplain is Eagle Ridge. So that's how we're able to draw that conclusion that it is surrounding.
So the previous said we're only considering the rezoning today. But it's my understanding from some of the discussions that occurred with the developer, the staff, developer approached me with some contact, okay, that if there would be a possibility of approving the rezoning but then not approving later on a preliminary plat down the road, that may not be advantageous for the developer due to the purchase price, et cetera.
Well, I think that's completely fair, of course, that any developer would need to know generally how many lots, not necessarily the configuration of those lots, but how many lots would be approved as part of the purchase price, because this ground's worth a different amount if you can build 50 houses than if you can build 80 houses.
Correct.
Right.
And I think
that
the owners here, right?
We're
going to
hear from
you. Yeah, right. Now I have any questions.
Any other questions for Jerry or Emily before we move on to the applicant and the owner of the property, and then we'll open it up here.
Not at this time.
Good. Okay. Good job. Thanks, Emily.
Yeah, thanks.
At this point, let's hear from Mr. Freeberg and Mr. Dotson. And I'm just going to turn it over to you guys to talk to us about what you want to talk to us about, and I'm sure we'll have questions.
Good morning. My name is Robert Dotson. I'm the trustee of the Dotson Family Trust A. That's in that capacity, I hold legal title to this property. You hear me all right?
Yes.
I wanted just a few minutes of the board's time to give you some awareness as to what has prompted our application for this change in zoning at this time. I'll try to be very brief, but I think the history will be of value to the board itself. This property was first acquired by my father back in 1960 as a part of a larger tract. As other pieces were sold off decades ago, he retained title of this because of his view that the property was suitable for a very nice development, residential development, and that at some time in the future, that would be the highest and best use to which this property could be put. The other property was more strictly row crop and was sold for that. He passed in 2003, and I assumed title as trustee of this trust. The initial beneficiary was my mother, who passed away about 4 years later. The primary beneficiary now is my elder sister, who started developing health issues. And that prompted my work to position this property to make it more suitable for residential development. I gathered information back in 2016 about the various conservation reserve programs, and in 2017 put in a bid to enroll what you've been describing as the Southwest Quarter, as well as a small tract in the Northwest Quarter in the Conservation Reserve Program. Now, the one that I selected is what's called the Pollinator Program. It's more expensive, but it yields, when successful, at least in my experience, a remarkably attractive transitional prairie to what I already consider to be a drop-dead gorgeous river valley for Squaw Creek. You folks never had the opportunity of knowing my father. He was a blue-collar guy. He came to Ames in the 30s as a bread truck driver. I grew up in a gas station. He always pitched for the little guy. When he dealt in real estate, one of the things that always was in the back of his mind, and therefore in the back of mine for this development, was who is going to buy these lots? You've already had several questions about lot size. What you haven't touched on is the allocation of the fixed costs of development over the lots. These lots, we hope, are to be sold to families with school-aged children. To do that, anticipating the fixed cost of bringing this development in, if you do 80 lots, if you want to stretch it a little bit, 70 to 80, then your price point is within the reach of a family with school-aged children. If you cut it back into the 50s, have larger lots, many of those people will drop out of the market. You'll be selling these lots to more mature couples, presumably with children beyond school age. That's not what we want. Think about where this is. What are you, 2 miles from the Gilbert School? We want those kids going to school in Gilbert.
It's not part of the fixed cost what you're charging for the land.
Absolutely.
Just want to make that
clear. Sure, I could sell the land for less.
You could sell the land for less. And that's not our business. I just want to
No, but it's a great segue to the next point that I needed to make for this group. In my opening comments, I talked about the timing. In the intervening years, and specifically starting on July 13th of this year, a Friday, my sister was removed from the home she occupied in Oline, her hometown, for over 40 years, and moved to a care facility in the memory unit. This trust provides the money to keep her in that unit. The cost of supporting her in her former residence was less than a third of the cost of every month to keep her in a memory unit, very comparable to Green Hills in Ames. I have to do something with this property. I really have two choices. Either we develop it, go for the goal that my father had back in the 1960s, or I have to find a way to make that agricultural land under A1 more productive. I suspect that most of the folks here are here for the second item on the agenda. It's kind of a no-brainer. If I can't develop it, if Mr. Friedrich and his group say, you know, that's just not enough lots, this isn't going to work, then I have a choice of one, and that's to explore enhancing the agricultural use. There's a one-word answer to that: livestock, whether it's hogs, cattle, or poultry. Don't have a whole lot of choices. I would really prefer to bring in the development. I don't know if any of you have gone out and looked at this. Did you walk out in the pasture up to the top of the hill?
I would not do that. That's a mobility issue.
All right. Well, if those gentlemen did, what a wonderful place to build a house. The proposal that Mr. Friedrich and his group have put together hits the right price point. It will provide those houses with a really beautiful view. I just as soon not give that view to cows, pigs, the poultry. I'd rather have people there. It's a no-brainer. We really want to do it. I have to move. There isn't an endless pool of cash to keep my sister, who has a life expectancy of 15 to 20 years. By the time she dies, the purchase price of this is going to be largely given over to the care facilities. But they send me a check every month. Bill, I send the checks. But that's the timing of it. I'm out of time. As trustee, I have to do the best thing for the beneficiary.
Mr. Johnson, thank you very much.
All right.
Kirk?
Well said, Bob. Thank you. My name is Kirk Friedrich with Friedrich Real Estate, and we're pleased to bring this proposal forward today. I want to thank also Emily and Jerry for the diligence in their reporting. They spent a great deal of time with us exploring the viability of residential development at this location and the potential challenges. And I can say that there has clearly been a paradigm shift in the thinking as we've gone through the due diligence process. We've engaged several members of staff. Mike Cox and Dr. Tom Rosberg were mentioned earlier. We together went out to the property and surveyed the property, and they took a natural resources inventory of the property to help us arrive at the design that we are proposing today. As it's been stated, today is really just about a comprehensive plan change and a rezoning. It is not about the preliminary plat, but in view of the importance to us of lot count and layout, it was critical that we bring forward sooner than we normally would a concept plan, so that you all would not be surprised when we do come forward with a preliminary plat of what we might be desiring to see happen here. The plat before you does represent 80 lots, and we're excited to bring this forward. We're just finishing up Cameron Estates in the county, which is another conservation subdivision. We've been a part of more conservation subdivisions than any other developer in our area. It's been very successful, and we only have 10 lots remaining in Cameron Estates. So we know the need is there, and we need to provide a new neighborhood for people to move who want to live in the county. It was said at the Planning and Zoning Commission that it would be desirable for everyone to live in the city. And that's just not reality. We need to provide different kinds of housing solutions for families based on their wants and their needs. There certainly are advantages to living in a city in terms of logistics and location to services, schools, shopping, etc. But there are advantages, as you know, to living in the county as well. Advantages like quiet and nice open spaces and room to move out and build something that is a little different than what you could in the city. In fact, in Ames, we are restricted with our zoning code to building approximately 3.75 housing units per acre, which equates to a 10,000 square foot lot. What we are proposing here under the R1 zoning is something that's 2.5 times what could be achieved in the city of Ames. And that's certainly something that people desire, is a little more room. And just an important distinction there between what we are offering. And further, with the density that we are asking for, 80 lots, and frankly, 80 lots over 160 acres is extremely low density overall. And that's how we look at the project, is a 160-acre project. But what we're trying to do, and Bob had alluded to this, is not deliver another subdivision of large lots that are priced out of reach for the majority of households. We are trying to create a subdivision that is within reach of the majority of households who are looking to move up in Story County to new housing and provide a more attractive price point. Eagle Ridge has been mentioned. Eagle Ridge, the average lot price is between $150,000 to $200,000. It's a great subdivision, but again, it's out of reach for most, and it's completely built out. And the average home price per the assessors is $850,000 in Eagle Ridge. While I imagine we will have some homes that may approach that number, the majority of homes will. We are not seeking to duplicate that. We want something, again, that is more in reach of the majority of households. An important distinction. The second critical piece of this development, besides providing important housing, which, by the way, will provide an unlocking of existing inventory of homes, a really important progression that will open up some entry-level housing for people in Story County. Second critical piece is conservation. And most of you have driven by the property, and Bob talked about highest and best use. What is the highest and best use for this property? It is rolling, it has steep slopes, and yes, we have discovered with the help of Mike and Tom Rosberg some prairie remnant, and there are drainage ways that are eroding. And quite frankly, it is my belief, and I hope that you will conclude the same thing, is that through a well-laid-out development like we are proposing, you can provide much-needed housing, and you can better protect the environment through conservation by setting aside the lands, which is what we would be doing. We will be setting aside, of the 160 acres, approximately 90 acres. 56% of this property will be set aside in perpetuity for the purpose of conservation. In the city of Ames, we've done the first conservation subdivision under the city's new conservation subdivision ordinance. The main proponent of the conservation subdivision in Ames is that you must set aside 25% of the land in outlots or conservation use. We're more than double that with this proposal. And finally, we've had some side conversations with others about concern over wastewater. And I'll conclude my comments and then we'll make ourselves available for questions. But in these areas, we have looked at and designed around the areas that Dr. Rosberg and Mike have identified as desirable for preservation and restoration, and that's what you see here reflected. There is, I think, maybe a heightened level of concern over the lots that are located in the northwest quarter. And based on my discussions, I think we feel that we would be willing to sacrifice some of the home sites in that area, peel it back a little so that we're a little further away from some of those identified prairie remnants. And further, related to wastewater, we would be capable of in areas where there are a grouping of lots of, say, 4 to 6 lots, we could, with still have individualized wastewater systems, but a common collection line that would then take that effluent to a distribution field, a single distribution field further away from these areas. And as I understand it, and I'm not a prairie expert, Mike is more versed on this, and I know Dr. Rosberg is more versed than all of us, but I know that it is desirable to keep the land where the prairie remnant is located in a drier state, not to saturate it. That is counter to the restorative ability of the prairie. And in view of that, we would be open to utilizing combined systems, if you will, and certainly can do that and create a drainage field to release the water, which, by the way, with the use of our Advantex systems that we are advocating for the lots, the effluent is pure when it comes out of the Advantex system. And then we will just be distributing the water through the distribution lines, but we need to get it to a single point, and we can do that. And I think achieve the goals that we have, which are housing and conservation. And by the way, we're planning a lot of trails throughout the development for the enjoyment and recreation of our residents and the folks in Story County. So we think it's a great development. In closing, I would agree with the recommendation of staff, with the exception of the 56 lot count. I really would like to know, I need to know, an approximate lot count of what you could support to allow us to know whether or not this is an economically viable project to move forward. So thank you very much.
And thank you, Kurt, Mr. Johnson. So, so you indicated that there in the northwest corner, maybe there's a little room to work.
Yes.
So I'm hearing maybe it's not 81 lots. The second thing I heard was that you're talking about total developable ground in the 70-acre range. Not that, if you're a half acre, you're not developing all of that 70 acres, right. But it's 70 acres that you'd like to work on developing.
Yes.
And so I'm just wondering, as you look for a number, is it reasonable to look at, again, I go back to Eagle Ridge and even across the street in Boone County, and the average is just over an acre,
right,
per home site. Is it possible to say there's 70 developable acres there, so no more than 70 one per developable acre lot? Is that a workable number to you to make it feasible?
It's not ideal, but if it certainly gets us closer to where we would need to be. And I would say we would be viable at that point. Mike Cox and I did visit a little bit about this potential reduction in lots in that northwest quarter-quarter. And maybe Mike can speak to this too, but he had mentioned that potentially that in view of eliminating lots in that northwest quarter, essentially those two cul-de-sacs would be pulled back and or eliminated, and then providing a different way of treating wastewater, like we discussed, but that in the southeast quarter, that really there is less desirable, if you will, prairie located in that area, and that potentially some lots could be added back in at that location. Further, I will say, just we did a lot of research leading up to today. We talked with Gilbert Fire. We talked with the trustees. We talked with the school members of the school board with Gilbert. You know, really no red flags. And also tried to reach out to neighbors as much as possible. And obviously we don't see eye to eye with everyone, but we're just trying to be a good neighbor and do our typical outreach. There were some folks to the south of us that sit on a 45-acre lot that is basically landlocked. And so we are looking at already eliminating, I think it's lot 80 shown on the plat at the south end, and providing an access point to continue the road to the south to pick up and provide a nice paved access for our neighbors to the south. Additionally, to the north, and I can't make out my eyes have failed me here, but towards the north end of the project, and I think, is that lot 25? It's sort of a trapezoidal lot there at the corner, southeast corner of the intersection of those two roads in the northwest quarter. That lot also, I think, we will eliminate and provide just a small neighborhood park for the benefit of our residents.
Thank you. Questions for Kirk or Gossip? Listen to a lot of presentations, but I want to tell you this. The timeliness of this discussion could not have been better with the audience that we have here. You were plainly spoken, and it was very informative and easy to follow. Mr. Johnson, you have my sympathies in regards to the family dynamic you have playing out in front of you. I have two questions for you.
Okay.
Your sister's circumstance has not been with you work. Would this property even be available for development?
Probably not.
My second question is, though, as I plainly have heard it, and I suspect the choices are stark, it is either homes or a cave home. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question about how you worried about the CRP land and federal confidential. You said it would be available under control of county influence. Would that mean you deed it over to us, or?
We would certainly consider that, Laura. So what we're looking at doing is not, and I don't think that this would be good from a fiduciary standpoint for us to, or frankly for the county, to turn over all 90 acres. I don't think that would not be a feasible thing for the county, frankly. What we typically do and have done, for example, at Quarry States in Ames, is the majority of the green spaces that we are establishing that will be established as outlots, and again, in perpetuity, they will be outlots. They will not be buildable outlots. But outlots that are set aside in these strategic locations where there are waterways and there are existing prairie plant remnant that we want to preserve. Some of those outlots, actually, the majority of the outlots that are adjacent to the residential areas, primarily in the southeast, the northeast, and then towards the north half of the northwest quarter, those will be under the care and ownership, likely, of the HOA, and paid through association dues into that HOA to provide a mechanism, management, and maintenance system for those outlots. The area to the south and west is an area that potentially we could see, if we're all in agreement, potentially see deeding that over to the county as a dedicated conservation area. It could serve even as a park for the county.
Okay.
I'm sorry that
line has put your family. Okay. Other questions before we open the public hearing? Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. So at this time, I will ask John Johnson, who's indicated interest in addressing us today, to come to the microphone. Sure. Absolutely. Mr. Johnson, start by introducing yourself and your address, please.
Certainly. My name is John Johnson. My personal address is 3707 Bridgeport Drive, which is in the Northridge Heights addition. But my brother and I own the family farm directly across from this property. And my brother lives on that residence. We were born and raised there. My father, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather lived on that farm. So that's the perspective I'm coming from today. If you don't mind, I'd like to take a few minutes to just discuss some items that came up in the planning and development report, and then refer maybe to some of the major aspects of the C2C plan and how they may be applicable in this situation. So the first item I'd like to discuss would be the lease discourse. And as it's already been stated, and it's ordinance number 208, that any land with a leaser score greater than 267 is not open for rezoning. Then I would look at the agricultural conservative area principles that are stated in the C2C plan. And the overarching number one principle is to conserve agricultural land as well as agricultural practices is the fundamental principle of Story County. And it would be my hope that you keep that principle in mind as we discuss this. The planning and development report has already outlined the LISA scores as three of the four quarters being below the 267 threshold. I did contact Mr. Moore to ask if I could have the manner or the algorithm by which LISA scores are calculated, and I was told there is no algorithm, and I received no information as far as how these scores are derived. So I feel as though that's still something I don't understand well. I also asked if a third party could conduct an LISA evaluation on this property, and I was told no. Then I asked, are the computations strictly objective? And he said, his response was, there is a little subjective input. I'd like to specifically look at the northeast quarter then, and as noted, the LISA score there is 266. So, looking at that number, that's less than a third of 1% less than the 267 required to be the threshold. When you consider a maximum score of 300 is what is obtainable. Since there's some subjective input into this LISA evaluation, I guess I would think a 266 score is controversial at least. And I guess I realize there have to be rules set on how these activities are conducted or how the computations are made. But I guess the other night at the Planning and Development or Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, Mr. Friedrich made the comment that this is unique property. That's one thing we can totally agree on. It is a very unique property. I will not argue that point. But I do think that there is some merit to consider developing LISA scores for the land based on the current land use. So if we were to look at, say, just the row crop ground in the north east quarter, the south, excuse me, I have to do the mental gyrations to make sure I'm saying the right thing here. In the southeast quarter, I'm fairly confident that those leases scores on the ground intended for row crop production would be greater than 267. I guess another question I would have is, we're looking at 66 acres of grazing land that has virtually no tree cover. It's capable of supporting a cow for every 2 acres. That stocking density would be unprecedented in our area for any timber pasture. That's a stocking density in those type of pasture situations would be more like 5 acres per cow. So you're not talking about unproductive ground. The ground may not be suited for row crop production, but we're not looking at ground that is unproductive for livestock production. And since the overarching principle does say conserving, I'll refer back to it to make sure I state that right, agricultural practices, I think that opens a window to not just row crop and not just CSR, but for animal livestock.
Well, I think we heard Mr. Dawson say.
I agree.
Could I ask just a question?
Sure.
Okay, so you were saying it would be like 5 cattle per acre?
If you're going to look at a comparable timber pasture, it would be 5 acres per cow.
Okay,
in calf
head. Confined animal feeding operation. To me, I'm getting the impression you're talking about grazing.
Well, that's what's currently, I'm talking about the current land use, and that's what it is grazing.
Okay.
And what I'm trying to tell you, Ms. Olson, is that this is a highly productive grazing ground. It's capable of supporting 1 cow for every 2 acres. And so I'm saying comparable. We're not looking at apples to apples is what I'm trying to say. As far as grazing ground, this is highly productive grazing ground.
Thank you.
So I would say that maybe since we all agree this is a unique property, maybe a unique way of evaluating the ground based on leases score should also be applied. The next point I'd like to look at is the analysis of the standards for approval from the Planning and Development Staff Report.
Mr. Johnson, before we leave the lease that issue, can I ask Jerry to tell us who was all involved this morning with leases score?
Certainly.
Just walk us through, please. 101.
100. Well, with regard to the number, anytime we, first of all, the planning staff does the review, there's like 11 questions that we answer. What is the average site value? What's the percent of area in agricultural within 1 mile of a site? Land in agriculture adjacent to the site? What's the adjacent zoning? Agricultural support systems and services, what's the land use compatibility for the area, the distance to urban built-up areas, compatibility of site for agricultural use, distance to a municipal water system, distance to sanitary sewer system, again within a city or an incorporated area, and then the availability of municipal public transit. With regard to numbering, anytime we have a number that's close to 267, we always have another planner do it, and they don't talk about what number is generated. And so in this case, they both obtain the same number.
Okay, thank you.
May I add something? In the case of this...
Get to the microphone.
In the case of the northeast quarter, the only... points that were deducted from the overall score had to do with the proximity to the city of Gilbert. Because it is within 2 miles, there was one point removed for that. The reason and what staff doesn't have control over is what has been designated as the average site value, and that's what brings it below 266. So in terms of subjectivity, on this particular one, there wasn't really any at all.
Okay. Thank you. Marty, did I answer for you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Good, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. I'd like to move on to the analysis of the rezoning standards and specifically to look at C, the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. And we've already heard the narrative that they said this is going to be similar to Eagle Ridge, 14 houses per quarter quarter. And we also heard that it would be similar to Buck Hills in the Boone County. After initially reading this report and hearing this, I thought, well, we're only going to be looking at rezoning three-quarter quarters here. So therefore, my assumption was then three-quarter quarters would mean that we would be looking at 42 lots. So at the meeting the other night, I kept hearing this number 56 come up. And so I did raise the question, the math I took said 3 times 14 is 42. How do you come up with this number? And I was told that all four-quarter quarters needed to be considered. So as I consider that, let me suggest for the sake of argument, let's do the same type of fuzzy math with the southwest quarter of Section 7 of Franco Township, the quarter that would include Eagle Ridge. So if we can consider all four-quarter quarters of that, there would be a total of 16 houses in that quarter-quarter. And when I divide 16 by 4, I come up with 4 as the housing density. So I think it's all a matter of semantics, but I think we're stretching it here a little bit in saying that this density is exactly the same as Eagle Ridge. And it's not even comparable to Buck Hills. I mean, at the end of my presentation, you will see a couple of pictures that show a Google Earth view of Buck Hills versus if you could transpose this map upon this Section 7 of Franklin Township, I think it would be it would look incredibly dense compared to any of the divisions that are going on in our area currently. I guess the other thing that I would mention, and I know you're already well aware of this, that Eagle Ridge was designated an agricultural residential rezoning, and this is contrary to what Mr. Friedrich is requesting, R1 transitional residential. The other thing that I would mention is that going back to land use, when we consider when Eagle Ridge was approved or rezoned to agricultural residential, that was an abandoned timber pasture. We're not looking at an abandoned timber pasture here. We're looking, if you remember the pictures, of cows and calves grazing on this current grassland. And we've talked a lot about emotional things and aesthetic beauty. Well, I think one of the things that we're losing in Story County may be the aesthetic beauty of seeing cows and calves out on grassland. It's a dying thing in this county. And I guess I think there has to be some appreciation for that also. The next thing I would appreciate reviewing would be the comments from the conceptual and interagency review teams. Specifically, I'd like to look at the Story County engineer's comments. And I want to look at three of them specifically. One was keep the drainage within drainage district boundaries. Three, avoid disturbing or building over district tile. Four, that this will add over or 700 plus or minus cars on this per day on 170th Street. The other night at the Planning and Development and Zoning Commission meeting, Mr. Reno gave a proposed solution for the drainage issues. And as you look at the current projected division, the eastern boundary has a road running along the entire eastern boundary. And if you will also notice, there's two major waterways that run through there. Now, Mr. Reno tried to assure us that they would have adequate culverts to accommodate the water. I guess I have my doubts that they're going to be able to build a culvert big enough to accommodate a sudden torrential rain, which leaves us with two options. One, the road will be graded high enough that we're going to create a dam. It's going to back water up into the surrounding farm ground, and it has the potential for crop damage that is over and above what they currently would incur from that such a torrential rain. Or the road is going to be graded low enough that the 34 houses at the back of that subdivision are going to be cut off from access to 170th Street by floodwaters, which means fire trucks are not going to get in and out, ambulances are not going to get in and out, people or kids that have to go to school are not going to get in and out. The other comment I think is fairly obvious to anyone here. We've got a busy farm to market road. There are a lot of tractors and wagons go by up and down that road to Gilbert, and not just during harvest season. There are people hauling corn from stored grain on site storage down up and down that road, you know, virtually all the time. 700 cars are going to create an obvious additional traffic hazard for the farm vehicles on this road. Now I'd like to turn to some comments from the Story County Planning and Development Department, specifically to look at their point four, an agricultural residential zoning designation request is consistent with Eagle Ridge, a quarter mile south of the property, with lot sizes in the Buck Hills and consistent with lot sizes in the Buck Hills subdivision. I won't dwell on this, but we've already looked at the fuzzy math. I mean, the report says 14 houses per quarter. Well, now suddenly, with their plan, 14 houses per quarter equals 19 houses per quarter, because if you divide 3 into 56, you come up with basically 19. We're talking about, they're recommending 56 houses, but it's only going to be on 3/4 quarters. So we're looking at a density of 19 houses per quarter, which already is inconsistent with Eagle Ridge, which is 14 houses per quarter. If you want to go to Mr. Friedrich's proposal, we're looking at 27 houses per quarter. I don't think anyone in the rural area is looking at really living in a urban setting, which this density would suggest to me. And I also would like to say that the planning and zoning development team, our staff, did really, in their suggestion here, say that the consistent thing between it and Buck Hills would be a rezoning to agricultural residential and not to transitional R1. The next point I would like to make would be on point seven. The C2C future land use map designation of this property are agriculture conservative area and natural resource area. Agriculture conservation aims to conserve agriculture land, direct future non-agricultural development towards the designated urban expansion, rural residential, rural village, and commercial industrial areas. I guess what I'd like to say here is I don't really understand why an Ames fringe zone was developed only to allow the developers from Ames to move outside that fringe zone and start to develop urban density type developments. I would certainly hope that we could maintain the agriculture area as an agriculture setting. My wife and I went on the Story County assessor's site and looked at the Beacon maps. And we decided to define an area with 170th Street being the north boundary, the County Line Road being the west boundary. The east boundary was 530th Avenue, which is the road running directly south from the Gilbert High School. And the south boundary was approximately a half mile south of Cameron School Road. And we just went through, and I'm sure we didn't get everything correct as far as my assumption would be. We probably missed some properties. But we clicked on each individual property and put them in a spreadsheet and just came up with how many acres in that approximately 9 square miles is under the control currently of land developers, and it's over 1,000 acres. That's a section and a half out of that 9 square miles that are currently under the control of land developers. The next thing, and this is a personal pet peeve of mine, I suppose, would be item 14. A maximum of 15% of the naturally occurring resources on the property may be removed for earth grading, roadway construction, building site clearance, or related construction activities. As I mentioned, I live in Northridge Heights. And I have observed what goes on in some of the developments that are occurring in our area. And the first thing that's going to happen is the developer is going to come out there with earth movers and scrape all the black dirt off into a pile. Then they're going to construct the roads, put in the necessary infrastructure, then they're going to start building their houses. And when they come back to regrade around those houses, there's going to be about 3 inches of topsoil put back on that ground. And what you're going to end up with is a yard that has minimal moisture retention capability. A yard that after 4 or 5 days of hot weather in the summer, even potentially, and 4 or 5 days after previous inch of rain, you're going to have to be irrigating if you want to keep a green lawn. My question would be, if they can only remove 15% of the natural resources, who polices this? And I'm just going to make a very conservative estimate that there's a minimum of 2 feet of topsoil on that farm everywhere, including the pasture ground. So that would suggest to me, if we're only going to remove 15%, they should be able to put approximately 20 inches back on the grading around these houses. And my experience has been that's not the case.
Mr. Johnson, can we get to the end? I so appreciate what you're talking about, but we're really getting off into the weeds for a rezoning request. We've got a huge day ahead of us.
And I'm nearly finished.
The next one, I'd just like us to get to that.
I'm nearly finished.
Okay.
The question about plans to buffer the subdivision from the existing animal agriculture in the area. I really would like to see that reversed. And they've already talked about wanting to have this development be an area for young children. I guess my question would be, how do they intend to control the pets that may have curiosity to get into a cattle yard? How about curious kids that want to get into a cattle yard? Who's going to control someone setting off fireworks? Cattle are very subject to sudden noises. Is there going to be a permanent fence, a cattle-type fence, put around this residential development? And are there going to be cattle gates at each access to 170th? By that I mean at-grade cattle gates so that the cattle are not going to cross into that if they should happen to get out. Finally, just quoting the statistics from the planning and development staff on the existing land use in the area, 94.5% is agricultural and 5.5% is residential. So again, I would ask if really putting 80 houses on this site is consistent with the cornerstone to capstone document and if it's consistent with the principle of maintaining the rural character of the area. And again, as I mentioned for your review, unfortunately, no one else can see this, but I do have two pictures at the end of my presentation that do show Section 1 of Jackson Township in Boone County containing Buck Hills Estate and Section 7 of Franklin Township with the current ownership of that acreage. Thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And next I have Rory Riley, who would like to address us. Roy, start by introducing yourself, and I would ask you to be as brief as possible.
I will try and be.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Rory Riley. I live at the property at the northeast quarter on the very east side of it. I've lived there since 1986 and have farmed the property for Bob Dotson for 25 years. So I'm kind of in a tough spot here myself. I'm on the opposite side of Bob, and Bob's been a very fair and responsible of a landlord as a guy would ever want. So it's very hard for me to sit up here and say what I'm going to say. My family is in the same type of situation as Bob's family is, not with the health problems, but I'm the youngest of nine. We have a property on North Dakota, 160 acres. We're getting right to the point there's developments across the road, quarter mile north. Is that, you know, we're thinking about selling. My sister's 73. She wants her money. So is the time now to try and do the same thing with our property? I don't know. But just putting it up for sale doesn't make it the reason to develop it, to me. You know, if for whatever reason, and I feel sorry for Bob and his family, you know, the rest of us that don't have that situation, if we run out of money or they run out of money, the state takes care of that. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the facts of life. As far as points of why I'm against it, the farm is very productive as it stands right now. I just kind of went through some quick numbers. Right now, the row crop is from $0 to $45 an acre of profit at today's prices and the yields that, you know, we had this year. The farmland or the pasture land is between $125 and $150 of return per acre. Granted, there's less acres of pasture, so it takes, you know, but I make my living these days off the cattle, not off the row crop. And I have 55 cows right next to that property. I have another pasture in Boone County, so it's not going to completely put me out of business. But I can't consciously have my, I always calve them there at home, all my cows, because you got to be there when it's calving time. And I learned something last year about cattle that I didn't know until I was 57 years old. I'm 58 now. That I've been often asked, you know, how come coyotes never get into my calves? Well, and I even calve out on the pasture if there's a late one, one or two a year, and I never lose one to a coyote. And I didn't know last year till what happens. I knew cattle could communicate. You call them, they tell all the rest of them, they all come running. But one of the calves like to sleep around the outside of that lot. I have electric fence. I got a very good track record of keeping my cattle, so they're not going to have to worry about my cattle getting over there. They said they got a 50-foot buffer zone. So that's fine. Around the outside of my pen, I have a, or the inside, I have a, about a foot and a half electric fence. And that's where the calves like to lay because it's, the cows don't step on it. It's dry in the spring. It keeps the cows from reaching through the fence. One of the calves was sleeping there, got up on the wrong side of the fence, which occasionally happens, but on the side to the development I have woven wire, which doesn't happen, but it happened on the south side. And I'll try to make this short, but what happened was I got on the other side of the fence, I laid the calf down like I always do, slid him back under the barbed wire, he gets up and gets into the electric fence. And I had never seen this before, I'd never heard my dad talk about he raised cattle, but that calf must have a different cry when he thought he was in steers. Every time they got shocked by the electric fence, I didn't have one cow on me like normally comes, or maybe the sympathetic cow. I had the whole damn herd on me. And I was actually scared. So, and this isn't too far-fetched. Okay, consciously, I couldn't have my cows there. Let's say there's some calves laying out there, and the cows are overeating or are up at the barns drinking water. And some curious kids come over there, in either A, they want to pet the new little calf that's a day old that you can walk right up on, or B, I dare you to go over there and pet that calf. Well, that calf gets up, he gets in that electric fence, and now he's got, these kids have 3 cows, or 55 cows on, and you got 3 children in there, you're going to have a catastrophe on your hands. So that's why I can't consciously raise cattle at that farmstead if this proposal goes through and they start putting houses out there. I feel bad for Bob, and I want him to get the most money out of his property for his family, just as I want for my family when the day comes. But I can't be for it with that. And the traffic on the road, the problems we're having with... I quit running my flashers on my tractors during the day because people from town, they do not pay attention. If your flashers are on all the time and you turn on your turn signal, you go. I've almost got hit 3 times in the last year where if I don't watch out for them, they're going to hit me because I got my turn signal on. So what I've done now is I don't turn my flashers on during the day. I use the turn signal only. It has helped, but it's not a cure-all. So... John covered some of the other points I had.
Okay, question for Laura.
So you are grazing your cattle, and the other alternative that Mr. Grafton is looking at right now is putting a confined and feeding that person. Do you have any thoughts about that?
But I'd welcome that before I would develop.
Okay, thank you.
Next I have Terry Gallagher. Terry, how are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you, Rick?
Good.
I'm Terry Gallagher. I live in the town of Gilbert. I'm speaking for me, not necessarily city council. I am a council member. I'm not happy about the threat of a hog confinement lot out there, but that's something way down the road. If it happens, you know, that'll be another meeting like this. One thing I thought about was the invasive plants, and I think about all of those homes and all of their lawns that are treated, and where that runoff goes. Does it go into those areas, all those environmental areas? There's a lot of invasive things. There's pet waste. There's going to be grass clippings dumped in those sensitive areas. One big point for me is the fact that the 2-inch main going into their water main, it's not big enough for fire control. We saw from the presentation that it's Gilbert Township Fire Agency that controls that, which means the water has to be hauled. Water that has to be hauled is my water. It's going to come from our water tower. I worry about that. I do worry about, and again, this is a development issue. It's not a zoning issue. I do worry about that quarter-mile-long dead-end road. John talked about rain. What if there's a tornado and it takes out right in the middle of that road? Those people are stuck there. They can't get in or they can't get out because it's a dead-end road. So that's kind of a big issue with that. Housing. I want to talk about the housing shortage. If we have a housing shortage in Gilbert, I do want to develop that, Marty, that we talked about at that last meeting. We just recently annexed almost 80 acres in the town of Gilbert. You want the kids to go to Gilbert School? Come to Gilbert. Help us pay for our water bill at Gilbert. I know that the school gets taxes when you're in the school district, but the town doesn't. And if there's 70 cars driving on that road, a lot of them are going to come into Gilbert, and that's wear and tear on our roads. Parents bringing kids to school, parents going to kids to school functions, and we get no taxes from that because it's not in the town. So I'd rather, if we want more kids to go to the school, I'd rather they develop or they buy in that development, in that new almost 88-acre development. We also have other land in town, I'm not sure what it is, maybe 20 acres, that has not been developed on the west side of town. It's another place to look. So there is land available, and it doesn't have to take up the grazing land, the important grazing land. I guess that's it. That's all I had to say. I'm with John too on this kind of 14 houses per quarter. It's like, well, we're only going to develop 3 quarters, but let's just take these 14 from the other quarter and cram them up in the other 3. I don't quite get that, but that's the way it is, I guess. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next I have Fromm. Go, Kathy Fromm.
Well, I do live in the county. I live between developments. And I've spent a lot of time talking to developers, and I consider Kurt over here a friend. And we've known the Rileys for years, very well. We have been stewards of the 45 acres we own. I feel like this is fighting the last war, and I'll say why. Have you all heard of climate change? What climate change means is that we have to have density of population, because the major issue is transportation. It is not unknown now that there are these problems. Why do you think the French people who are rural are protesting every weekend in France? That is because the French government raised the fuel tax and a carbon tax, and it falls on rural people because they have to drive more. Okay, this is a rural development. I can't say, I'm not saying I'm for or against it, I'm trying to say that in the future we face these problems. And that includes, are we going to have buses, Ames buses, going out to all these areas for people who cannot pay for the tax that they're going to have to pay? We have increased the road tax in California, which was approved by the population in a referendum. But the point is, we face these issues, and we can't just decide that rural life is very nice. Yeah, I do live there. It's quieter. My husband hunts. I know all of the issues, and they have done a very good job of managing the environmental issues. It seems to me like you couldn't ask for more. But the question is whether we can have rural development as rural as this really is. Thank you.
Thank you. So that brings me to the end of the people who have requested to speak. Is there anyone else who would like to address this topic as part of the public hearing? Let me go, and then Cindy will come to you.
Thank you, and I apologize for not signing up earlier. I would simply like to read a couple things from the zoning ordinance, but first to say that I served on the County Planning and Zoning Commission for 3 years until last week I resigned because I'm going to another capacity. We had training very early in that time. Thank you, Jerry, for putting that together and setting that up. And what I remember, and this isn't chapter and verse, but what I remember the trainer saying, who was an expert in zoning, is you folks aren't making things up, talking to us. You have a zoning ordinance. That is your law. You need to follow that law. Therefore, I would like to read the definitions. And now, definitions aren't perfect. You can probably question them, but I see some differences in definitions here as you apply it to this land. The applicant is requesting R1. Reading from the zoning ordinance, the R1 transitional residential district is designed to provide a district for single-family detached dwellings between a rural and urban density. And that goes back, I think, to what Supervisor Olson said about, is this leapfrogging? There is no higher density around this area that the applicant is asking to be R1. R1 in my mind is between, well, it is here, it's between a more dense and a less dense. It's a transition zone. That doesn't apply to this land in my mind. The AR, Agricultural Residential District, is designed to provide for single-family detached dwellings with limited activities interrelated with agricultural uses at a rural density. It goes on, and I didn't write it all down, but it goes on to explain the kind of things that you do to make sure that the agricultural and the residential uses are adequately buffered, whatever. So when I'm looking at this, personally, and my time on zoning, Planning and Zoning Commission, it seemed to me when we voted on this that R1 was not appropriate. I did not see it being a transition. I saw this being more of an AR.
Yeah, it is.
And that's all I wanted to say, and we have somebody else who wants to
talk. Absolutely. I just wanted to ask a question, and I so appreciate you bringing this up. It looks to me like this is being proposed in that it's kind of a hybrid, because the true R1, and Jerry, you help me through this, but that's a half-acre density.
25,000
roughly a half-acre, right? An acre is 48,000 square feet. So it's a half-acre density. And what I'm hearing being proposed is half-acre lots, which is the reason for the R1 request, but at a density that is much less than a one home per half-acre. I mean, no matter how you slice it, whether you slice it by the quarter, or by the number of developable acres, or the whole number of acres, we're much less density than what R1 would truly be. Right, we're talking about somewhere between 56 and 81 homes on a 160-acre site. That's much less than R1, but agricultural residential requires 1 acre minimum lot size, and what I'm hearing proposed is we don't want, or the developer doesn't want, 1 acre lot sizes because it would be cost prohibitive to draw the kind of homeowners that they're looking to draw. And I'm just asking you, so you read the
I don't think that here. The zoning ordinance allows you to create or invent a hybrid. The zoning ordinance says what the zoning ordinance says.
Absolutely true. But the zoning ordinance does not require that you, so if you lay the AR on it and you say, or the R1 on it and you say half acre size lots, but it doesn't say how many lots you have to have. In other words, you don't have to fill up the whole property with it, but if you go the AR, your minimum is 1 acre lot sizes, and that's the problem with it.
Plainly, I asked Mr. Dodson what he was going to do with his property. It sounds like it's going to be either or. How would you like to see this board vote?
Consistent with the zoning ordinance.
You're asking us to deny it?
I'm just asking you to look at the zoning ordinance. I did vote against this at Planning and Zoning Commission because I did not feel like R1 was appropriate.